This morning is from John chapter 14. David made mention of Jesus being in the upper room with his 12 guys. I like that, Dave. Made me think of Five Guys for hamburger joint, but it's hardly what was happening in the upper room at that time. John chapter 14, he is speaking to his disciples who are concerned and troubled with where Jesus is going as they anticipate the activities of this Holy Week. After Jesus told them that he would not be with them, Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am the Father and that the Father's in me? The words I say to you do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves." Blessed be the word from our Lord this morning.
I want to give you a heads up on the message today. It's titled Portraying God, as you can see up on the wall here. It's kind of a heavy message. It's something that God laid on my heart. And as always, whenever I preach to myself. So God preaches to me, and then I preach a message to myself that you sit and listen to. So this is me preaching to myself this morning. And this is a message that's primarily geared for fathers, but I believe everyone here can gain something from it. What we just heard in our scripture verse is that Jesus is telling us that he and the Father are one. Today's Father's Day, it's also Trinity Sunday. And so we have God, we have Jesus, and we have the Holy Spirit. The word Trinity is not found in the Bible, but it's illustrated when Jesus is baptized. We have Jesus there being baptized, and then we hear God the Father, "This is my Son, who I am well pleased," and then we have the Holy Spirit descending in the form of a dove. So it's a hard concept to understand. A lot of people use the illustration of an egg. We've got the shell, we've got the yolk, we've got the other part. There's three parts, but one egg. And the same is with the Trinity. Jesus, in our scripture verse, is saying that he is just like God. If you've seen him, you've seen God. That's a pretty profound statement to be making. And it's a hard thing to wrap our minds around that Jesus was fully man and he was fully God. But what Jesus is also saying is that sons become like their fathers. He was just like his Father. We've heard the saying, like Father, like Son, right? Here's the main premise of the message this morning. And this is pretty heavy for fathers to take on. Children think of or view God to a large extent based on their relationship with their earthly father. Children think and view God to a large extent. Their view of God to a large extent is based on their relationship with their earthly father. So earthly fathers, here's the challenge. It's for us to portray God to our children, to our nieces, to our nephews. And I know it shouldn't be that way, and that's a hard thing to put on men. But that's just how things are designed. You know, we're all called to be little Christ. That word Christian, that's what that means. If you call yourself a Christian, then you are a little Christ. Back in the 80s, the big thing was, what would Jesus do? We are to live our life WWJD. What would Jesus do? As a Christian, we are to be like Jesus. And that's a pretty tall order. It's the same thing that I'm preaching today. So the title, Portraying God. Well, I'm going to loosen things up a little bit. Seems like things are kind of stale and quiet this morning. I have done lots of portrayals in different acting. But when I'm told to portray God, I don't know. So I'm going to share with you some of the characters that I've portrayed over the years. Years ago, I portrayed a character by the name of Hector Skyscraper, and it was in a performance of Little Nell. And this is Hector Skyscraper. My name is Hector Skyscraper, and I'm the son of poor but honest parents. Thank you for the laughs. I appreciate it. Whew, you're a hard crowd. Most recently, for my daughter Shalor's School of Dance Christmas Sensation Program, I was Buddy the Elf. Oh, wait, I gotta take these off.
Hi, I'm Buddy. I like to smile. Smiling is my favorite.
Oh, boy. Let's see what else we got here. Gotta put this on. I don't know if it'll stick or not. There we go. A couple years ago, I came for the chili cook-off. I was referred to by Ken Metrick as Pedro. My name is Pedro. Hola. Yo hablo español. I come this morning to the Mount Chestnut chili cook-off. Whew. Thank you for the laughs. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. This was one of my favorites last June for another one of my daughter's dance recitals. I don't know how I get rigged into these things. I was the conductor for the Polar Express. Now, this one you might throw tomatoes at, but please refrain. I don't know if I have my wig on right.
This is a fabulous church. This is an awesome church.
Oh, okay, I think that's all the hats I brought. Whew. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, now we're going to talk about portraying God. And what a tall order that is. So the bottom line is that children tend to become like their father. So in this passage, Jesus is basically saying to Philip, hey, Philip, I'm just like my father. And again, Jesus was fully God, fully man. He was just like his father. Jesus is speaking of a God-created principle. The principle is this, that children will become like their father. And I think most of us will agree that there's some part of our father in each one of us. And I know I just saw some pictures on Facebook this morning of Junior getting married. And I don't know Junior real well, but I have a feeling he's a lot like Harold. And he got that name, his name is Harold, and he got the name Junior because he's a mini-me of that guy. And I went to his wedding back in 1980, and I can remember it was a country-style wedding. He had a Stetson on. Now, his son, Junior, didn't wear the Stetson, but it was a country style wedding. I thought, isn't that interesting that Junior is a lot like his dad? I brought some pictures with me. Amy, if you could go to page 3. Just to kind of illustrate, I have one son also. And this is the best I could do with illustrating that my son, Nolan, is a lot like me, and I feel bad for him. But there's my senior picture, and there's Nolan's senior picture. And then Nolan, below there with my mother and father, he was the homecoming prince or whatever. And that's me, I think one of my first driver's license. And if you look closely, you'll see some similarities. And Nolan and I, back when we had a landline phone at our house, we used to always play tricks on people because people would call. And we'd say, hello, foxes. And then you know what the next question is. Is this David or is this Nolan? And then we would just play with people. You know how that goes. So it's interesting, isn't it, how sons become like their fathers. Now, you may not believe that you're like your father, but I encourage you, check with your wife. And check with your children and see what they have to say. How many wives can say that their husband is like their father? Just raise your hand if you think that your husband is like his father. Is there any similarities? Yes. Becky, my wife, will often joke around. My dad was Raleigh Fox, and a lot of people will say, you are so much like your father. I already heard it this morning from someone telling me, you're so much like your father. And sometimes my wife will say, okay, Raleigh, like when I start to obsess about how the grass is cut, you know, you can't cut it this way because we cut it that way last week. You got to go this way. And she'll say, okay, Raleigh, you know, because there's a lot of my dad in me. And then there's a lot of Nolan, you know, a lot of me and Nolan. And oftentimes I'll say, oh no, when did I become my dad? There's a classic song that illustrates this, Cats in the Cradle. And I know you want to sing along, so you want to join with me? No. My child arrived just the other day. He came into the world in the usual way. But there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away. And he was talking for I knew it. And as he grew, he'd say, I'm going to be like you, Dad. You know, I'm going to be like you. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, not today. I've got a lot to do. He said, that's okay. And he walked away, but the smile never dimmed. He said, I'm going to be like him. Yeah, you know I'm going to be like him. Well, he came from college just the other day. So much like a man, I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you. Can you sit for a while? He shook his head and said with a smile, what I really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later. Can I have them, please? I've long since retired and my son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I could find the time. You see, the new job's a hassle. The kid's got the flu. But it's been sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me he had grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. A lot of truth to that song, isn't there? It's a heavy thing to put on Father's Day. But here's the challenge. Men, fathers, what virtues, what characteristics are you passing on to the next generation? Whether it's your biological son, your nephew, because boys often don't have a father, and so they're looking at other men in this world. And what are they learning from you? If you could go to slide 5, Amy. It's said that behaviors are caught that are not taught. Children model what they see. Behaviors are caught, they're not taught. So, for example, if there's a father who comes to church, that's good. Maybe it's because his wife has harped on him to come, but he's just sitting there with his arms folded. Really doesn't want to have anything to do with church or the Bible or anything to do with Christianity. What do you think his son's going to be like? We've all heard of John Wilkes Booth, the assassin who killed President Lincoln. But what we may not know is that John's father, Junius, threatened the life of President Andrew Jackson years before. While most fathers don't teach their children to be assassins, they do model for them some more common shortcomings. So here's the challenge, and it's a very daunting challenge, and again, I apologize for putting this on you, but it's what God put on my heart. May we do our best to portray the image of God to the young men in our lives. So that's the challenge for this morning. Christian research has shown that 50% of us today in this sanctuary have had a very poor example of fathering, which may lead to us having a very distorted view of God. That's sad. Slide 6, Amy, if you could go to that. There's some examples here of poor fathering and then heavily fathering. Poor fathering did not influence your life in any way to the things of God or going to church. More or less told you that you're a nuisance, not pleased with you at all. Maybe you were abused by your father physically or emotionally. Maybe, unfortunately, your father struggled with alcohol or drugs. Maybe your father was angry all the time, controlling, selfish, it's all about me. Maybe your father wasn't around. Maybe your father never got to know you and you never got to know your father. If that's the case, then your view of God, your heavenly father, is probably not real good, because you may also think the same things about God. But that's not true. Let me assure you, the heavenly father is the opposite of the list that I just read through. So what's our Heavenly Father like? And this is our challenge for today, to be like our Heavenly Father. Influenced your life to the things of God. Encouraged you to get involved in a church, to go to Sunday school, to be part of the youth group, to have Christian friends, to read your Bible, to get to know God. Told you that he was pleased with you. You knew that you were safe and secure. You were protected. You were given security. He extended to you, even though you mess up all the time, grace and mercy and forgiveness. He was faithful. He would be the type of father that would lay down his life for you. He wants to be with you. He wants to get to know you. And here's the biggie. He has unconditional love for you. And I always like to explain unconditional love this way. There's nothing you could do to make your dad love you any more than he already loves you. I think, though, sometimes we think, if I do this, if I do that, then God will love me a little bit more. There's nothing more you can do to make him love you than he already loves you. And there's nothing you can do that would make him love you any less than he loves you. We don't operate in those levels. We may say, oh, I have an unconditional love for my children. Well, I have three, and I don't know. Sometimes it's a little hard. But God has an unconditional love for us. And I'm going to do my best to have that same type of unconditional love towards my children. Max Lucado puts it this way, and I love this. If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. We've all have those refrigerators, right? Where maybe a child makes some portrait and, you know, it's the display center of the house. If he had a wallet, your picture would be in it. He sends you flowers every spring and tomato plants to plant and a sunrise every morning. Face it, friend, God is crazy about you. Sometimes it's actually hard for us to accept a love like that because we never had a love extended to us like that. May we see ourselves the way God sees us, not how we think God sees us. If you've had an angry, ungodly father, and maybe you're stuck in that, I challenge you to forgive your father, press on, and move forward. Too many people, too many Christians, I feel, use this as an excuse for their relationship with God. They say, well, my father this, and it's because of my father that. I say, you know what, that's really sad, and I'm sorry to hear that. But I encourage you to take on the true image of God the Father. Take him on. Forgive your earthly father, because I'm sure he did the best he could in all his shortcomings. And press on and move forward. Psalm 27:10 says, my father and my mother forsake me. Then the Lord will take care of me. Forgive your parents. Forgive your father. Press on to a new future and the lordship of Christ. And then for the last slide in closing. So how can I meet this daunting challenge of portraying God? I can't do it. We can't do it. We can't do it on our own. And that's the nice part about relying on God, because God says, in your weakness, my strength will be shown. You can't do it. And so turn to God and say, God, I need your help. I know this is right. I know I need to portray your image, and I need to be more like Jesus, but it's way beyond me. I have so many shortcomings. I need your help. I need more patience. I need more of you and me. It's hard work, and we can't do this on our own. Let's pray to God. Father, this is a daunting challenge that's been laid on us. We know that Jesus and you were one. Jesus was fully God. We're to be like Jesus, which means we're to be like you. Father, as earthly fathers, as earthly examples to those around us, we want to portray the right image to those that we interact with. Father, we pray that we would take on the virtues and the characteristics of being that heavenly Father. Kind, compassionate, tender-hearted, protective, trustworthy, faithful, full of grace and mercy. A Father that has a plan and a purpose for our life, and a Father that extends us unconditional love. Father, we can't do it on our own, so we turn to you and we ask for your help in these matters. And we pray all this in your name. Amen.